Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Well, surprise, surprise, this year your Mother's Day speaker is me. So again, I want to wish all of you a happy Mother's Day, and we're glad to have all of you with us. And also to those that may be listening by other means today, we also want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. In Exodus chapter 20 and then repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we find what is commonly referred to as the Ten Commandments, which were given to Moses and written in stone on Mount Sinai. Now, according to the New Unger's Bible Dictionary, the Ten Commandments are a statement of the terms of the covenant God made with His chosen people. In this respect, they are to be distinguished from the elaborate system of law known as the Mosaic Law, the vast legal system of Israel, criminal, civil, judicial, and so on, which was framed after the covenant law, not with a view of expanding it, but to enforcing it. And so the Ten Commandments that were given on Mount Sinai have a lot to do with us today. In fact, a lot of our laws are based upon what? The Ten Commandments. And we find in some courthouses, still in a few anyway, you might have a copy of the Ten Commandments. In some churches, you might find that we have a copy of the Ten Commandments. As a matter of fact, we have a copy here of the Ten Commandments. So you may find them on display in various places. And I know some of you are probably thinking, well, what does it have to do with Mother's Day? But we'll get to it in a moment. And some people think, well, the Ten Commandments, some people have maybe referred to them as the thou shalt nots and the thou shalts, because it kind of starts off thou shalt not, and it kind of gets down a little further and says thou shalt, basically. And that's kind of simplifying it. But anyway, there's one of the commandments that we want to talk about today, just briefly, and that's commandment number 5. Who knows what commandment number 5 is, besides Larry? Katie knows. Anybody else knows what commandment number, Terry? Okay. Several of you know what commandment number 5 is. Well, I'll help you out here. Commandment number 5 is, according to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be prolonged upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor thy father and honor thy mother. And I'm sorry to say that a lot of times today we don't see that particular commandment being obeyed, because we see a lot of fathers and mothers that are being disrespected in many ways. And I'm glad when I see people who do give honor to their mothers and to their fathers, and they show them the respect that they deserve. And I know some people, well, does that mean that you always have to agree with everything they say and do? No, you don't. But you still need to respect them and to honor them, because that's the Word of God, that we honor our fathers and our mothers. And you say, okay, you're throwing the fathers in there still. But we're going to get to you ladies particularly just a little bit later on. So it's a commandment of God. And I also want to point out that there are biological mothers, and who are the ones that physically gave birth to the child. There are some who are stepmothers or adoptive mothers who raise a child that's not their own biological child, and they love that child and they nurture that child just as if they had been that biological parent. And we had an example of that here in our church back when Rebecca was still alive. She was not the biological mother, but she was the stepmother, but she still treated those kids as if they were her own biological children. And you see some that do that. You see parents that will adopt a child, and they will love that child just as much as if they had physically given birth to that child themselves. And then there are spiritual mothers. And spiritual mothers can come in all age groups and to some extent, because there are some young people that are spiritually very well founded and settle, and sometimes they can give help to even some of the older people as to help them in their spiritual walk. And the spiritual mothers are the ones that nurture and help those in the congregation along spiritually, or other people even outside the church in their spiritual walk. And so those are basically three types of mothers that I want to recognize today. But I want to get into the Bible as well. And of course, the first mother that we read about in the Bible is who?
Eve.
Well, that's an easy answer there. Eve. She was the first. In fact, Genesis chapter 3, verse 20 says, "And the man," who's the man? Adam. "He called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living." So, in actuality, you know, how many like to do research of your ancestors? You know, have any of you done that? Find out who some of them are? I always wondered if mine were outlaws or something, you know, because I never heard a lot about them. But anyway, as we do that, well, I guess if you really started to trace for it and you really had the tools to do it, you could trace back, but you could trace all the way back to Eve. That's your great, I don't know how many times removed, grandmother, you know. So there's Eve, who was the mother of all living. And then, of course, here's one we don't think about too much either. How about the daughter-in-laws of Noah? Because after the flood, irregardless of what a movie that was released last year, or I think it was last year, called Noah, and some other things that have been shown, I'm sorry to tell you the movie's wrong and a lot of stuff. There was Noah, and there was a few of the other things in there, but most of it was not right. But anyway, Noah, his wife, his three sons, his three daughters-in-law. And guess what? We can all trace our roots back to them as well. So there's some other mothers that are mentioned in the Bible that are very important in our lives, because without them, guess what? You wouldn't be here. And in fact, in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." So again, they're a very important part of our history. There's some other mothers in the Bible that we also want to talk about here. And in Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it tells us this. It says, "Then there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife of the daughter of Levi," or took to wife a daughter of Levi. "And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw that he was fair, she hid him for 3 months. Now, I got to stop right here a second. How many of you ladies, when you had that child, hid that baby for 3 months? Nobody? Did anybody hide that baby for a day? You did. I tell you, you're generally so, I have to say generally now. Thank you, Becky. Generally, you're so proud you want everybody in the world to see that child. Now, our first child was born in Germany in a military hospital. And we didn't have the option of showing that child to anybody that we wanted to for a couple of days. But most of the time, you want to call everybody up. You want them to see that baby. The dad's standing out in the hallway, you know, at the nursery window, beaming with pride. You know, "That's my baby over there." And let's face it, not all babies are really, really beautiful when they're born. Some of them are a little bit ugly. I'll have to be honest about that, you know. But you know what? To the parents, it doesn't matter, because they know they're going to grow out of that anyway, you know. And they're out there, "That's my baby, you know. That's my child." And you're so proud of it. And you want everybody to know that that's your child. And here's a mama that she hides her baby for 3 months. Why? Well, She was doing that in the best interest of her child. Because you see, there was an edict out that all these babies, male babies anyway, were to be killed. And she didn't want her baby to die. And when your babies were born, that's the last thing in your mind. You did not want them to die. You wanted them to live. You wanted them to prosper. You wanted them to grow up into being a person that was of great value and interest to the world. You wanted your child to be successful. You wanted all the great things that you could think of for your child. You wanted them to have a better life than what you had. You wanted these things. And here's a mama who's realizing if she tells people about her baby, it's going to die. So she hides it. And then it goes on to say that when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark made of reed and daubed it with slime and with pitch and laid the child therein and put it among the bulrushes by the river's brink. She's thinking, if I put it out here. You know, it doesn't tell us here in the scripture, but we read later on what happened. But I think this mama had a pretty good idea if she puts this ark right here of maybe what might happen. And you find that as she does this, Pharaoh's daughter, nobody is going to mess with Pharaoh's daughter. And if Pharaoh's daughter comes down and finds this baby, she just might have a tender heart for that baby. And sure enough, guess what? That's what happened. Pharaoh's daughter comes down to the river. She hears the baby cry, finds it. Eyes look upon that baby, and love begins to come out of her heart. And she wants to find out about this baby. She tells him to get me this baby here. I'm going to take it for my own. And you find out that in Exodus chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, it says, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, and this is talking about Moses' sister, the baby's sister who was standing over there kind of in the background a little bit, and says to her, go, because she'd ask her, do you want me to find somebody that can nurse this baby for you and take care of it until you're ready to do it yourself? And so Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maid went and called the child's mother. And to whom Pharaoh's daughter said, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will reward thee. Then the woman took the child and nursed him. Now the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he was her son. And she called his name Moses, because she said, I drew him out of the water. Think about it. This mama is so concerned for her son, she hides him for 3 months. She can't keep him hidden any longer. She puts him down here, where I think she had maybe a pretty good idea. Somebody would find him that could be able to take care of him. She's giving up her child to save his life. And guess what? She's thinking probably, I'll never see my son again. But she gets to keep him for a while longer. And I think she even got paid for it. Because Pharaoh's daughter says, I'll reward you for doing this. So she got blessed to take care of her own child there. Now, admittedly, he had to eventually go live in the palace of Pharaoh and be raised by Pharaoh's daughter. But this mama could know that her son was safe, that her son was going to get a good education. Her son was going to get things and opportunities that her and the rest of her children would never have. Her son was going to be blessed. And of course, we all know, if we continue to read the story, that Moses went on to become the deliverer of God's people from the land of Egypt. Yeah, he went through some tough spots. I mean, he realized one day basically where he came from and who he was, and ended up having to leave town he didn't even have to wait for the first stage out of Dodge. He just had to go. He spends 40 years on the backside of the desert being basically a nobody but a sheep herder, but God speaks to his heart and he goes back to Egypt, and then for the next 40 years he's leading God's people toward the promised land. That mama loved her son enough to hide him. She loved her son enough to let somebody else raise him so that he would prosper and survive. That was love. That was a mother's love. We're told of another mother in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. And This is the story of a man by the name of Elkanah, and all of his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But he does this, and his wife Hannah goes with him, and she has no children. And she's, you know, back in those days, you didn't have any kids. As a woman, you were looked down upon. You were frowned upon. If you read the story, you find that he had two wives, and the other one had kids. She's very sorrowful, the story tells us. She cries out before God. In fact, so much that the priest thinks she's drunk. What's this drunken woman doing here at the house of God? But she's crying out to God. God, would you please give me a child? Would you give me a child? And she makes a vow unto God that if he will give her a child, she will dedicate him to the Lord, and he will serve the Lord all the days of his life. And so we find that God answered her prayer. And then we pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 21 to 22, where it says, "And he went up to the house of the Lord to offer his yearly sacrifice and vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will tarry until the child is weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever." And then it says, going on here, in chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, "And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, The Lord give the seed of this woman for the petition that she asked of the Lord. And they departed unto their place. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord." You see, she cried out to God, "Lord, bless me with a child. Give me a child. I'll dedicate him to you." God heard her prayer. God answered her prayer. She maintained and kept her vow. And because she did this, God blessed her with additional children that she didn't even ask for. And God gave this blessing to her. Now, what about Samuel, this man by the name of Samuel, or this child by the name of Samuel? We find a lot about him in the book, of course, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. We find a lot about him here. And who was he? Well, he went on to be used by God to assist Israel's transition from a loosely governed tribal people to a monarchy. He anointed the first two kings of Israel. He was the last and most effective of Israel's judges. He was a prophet and he was a priest. Think about it. She cried out to God, "God, if you'll give me a child, I'll dedicate him to your service." And you know, here in the church, we do that somewhat. In the fact that when we have a baby that's born in the church, many times, or most of the time, we bring that child and we dedicate them to God, that God would use them and be a part of their life, and that they would be dedicated to God, that they would serve God all the days of their life. Now, does that mean that that's going to actually happen that way? It's up to the child, really, as they grow up and what happens. But we start out by saying, "God, we dedicate this child to you, and we want this child to grow up in the things of the Lord and in the house of God and in the ways of God and be a part of what God wants it to be and to be who God wants them to be." So this is basically what she did. She was blessed because she was willing to dedicate her child to God and say, "God, I want you to use him." He grew up in the temple. He knew all about this. One of the most effective, well, actually the most effective of the judges of Israel. Great man of God. And this was all because of a mother's love. And then, of course, there's a young lady in the Bible who we call Mary. And I know in Hebrew it's Miriam, but we call her Mary. And it's a very popular name. Back then it was a popular name. It's a popular name today still. But here's this young lady. And the Bible doesn't really tell us how old she was, but we kind of presume that she was fairly young. Some people have thought maybe as young as 14 or 15 years old. Some people portray her a little bit older. I don't know. But the Bible tells us that she was engaged to a man by the name of Joseph. Some people think Joseph was an older man. Some people think that he was young himself. I don't know. But anyway, they're engaged. And one day, Mary gets a visitation from somebody she never expected to see. An angel of God. Anybody here ever had a visitation from an angel of God? Angel walked into the room and sat down and began to talk to you. That don't happen very often. And here she is, this young woman. And this angel comes to visit her and tells her that she is blessed because she's been chosen by God to bear the physical manifestation, as far as in our form, of God's only Son. And she says, look, how can this happen? I've never known a man. How can it be? And the angel tells her, it's of the Holy Spirit or of the Holy Ghost. And unfortunately, I've heard of some people who've used that excuse today too, but there was a preacher in California years ago. His daughter was going to have a baby, and that was what he said, but I think this only happened one time. Mm-hmm. All the Bible tells us about says it didn't say it was never going to happen again, but it gives us pretty good proof it's not going to happen again that way. Here she is. What am I going to do? Because you know what? Back in those days, it was a pretty severe penalty. In fact, Joseph, he was concerned about what he was going to do. If you read the story, what should I do with her? What should I do? And guess what? Joseph gets a visitation too. And he's told, look, this is of God. So the two go on. Long story short, Mary gives birth to a child. And they call his name Jesus, Yeshua in Hebrew. And she knows her child is special. Did she actually know all of what was going to happen with her child? I don't know that she did. I think she had some ideas. You know, mothers seem to know things about their child. They seem to have that instinct about their child. She knew her child was special. Her child was given to her by God. She knew there was not another child like him. And I think as time went on, she knew and realized what the outcome was going to be. And I'm sure it probably hurt her heart some as she realized, my baby is going to have to die. Even though she knew that was God's plan, still, I imagine, kind of hurt. My baby's going to have to die. And let's face it, ladies, men as well, your child, it doesn't matter if you're 90 years old and they're 70 years old, they're still your baby. And what happens to them happens to you. And I can imagine her heart probably hurt some as she realized what was going to happen. I imagine it was tough for her when she stood there and watched him being hung upon that cross because she had that mother's love and compassion in her heart and her spirit. But God touched her and used her. And then I mentioned earlier that we have spiritual mothers, those who help to nurture us in our spiritual walk with God. And as I said, a spiritual mother sometimes can be younger than the person they're nurturing because they've had their walk with God maybe a lot longer than that other person. And I'm thankful today for spiritual mothers because most of us have probably had at some point in our Christian walk a spiritual mother. And the spiritual mother can come in any size, shape, or color. But they're sent there by God to help us and to help us walk in our Christian walk and to guide us in our daily walk sometimes with Jesus Christ. I'm thankful today that God has blessed us with mothers, mothers who love and care for us. Some of you are now grandmothers, and Katie's a great-grandmother. So, and I, you know, that's, I sometimes wonder what it would be like to be a great-grandfather, you know, and I talk to some of my friends who are great-grandparents, and I see how they feel about their great-grandkids, and I hope that I have that opportunity someday. And but I'm thankful for all you ladies today and for your blessings, because all of you are a blessing. All of you are a blessing as you walk with the Lord and you show the love of God in your heart, not only towards your own children, but towards those in the church and those that God has placed in your pathway to love and to, in some ways, nurture as well. So I'm thankful for you today and for all the blessings. And Father, right now, as we begin to come to the end of this message, Father, I just pray for those that are here this morning. I pray, Father, a special blessing upon each and every lady that's here today, Father. And Father, that you would bless them, Father. Some children are older, and maybe they have great grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Some of them that are here today have very young children, Father, that are just starting out. But Father, they all have one thing in common, and that's love that they have for their child and for their grandchildren in many cases. And Father, I just pray that blessing upon them today that you'd meet their lives. And Father, if there's anyone today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, our Father does not know, maybe they're not really walking with God the way they should, I just pray, Father, that you would speak to their hearts, Father, whoever they may be, wherever they may be. Father, that you would touch their lives today and speak to them, I pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.